Hello, and it's good to be back. I'm Jane Johnson, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood. We're going to be dropping this podcast weekly with a series of guests, some of which I'll be interviewing and others I'll be handing over the mic. Our aim at Careering Into Motherhood is to make life as a working mother that little bit easier. And I passionately believe that coaching and a supportive community are absolutely fundamental to that. It's why we have a partnership with over 60 different coaches who can help you with anything from changing careers to parenting children with special educational needs, going through divorce or other relationship challenges, to launching a business of your own. All the support and advice from our coaches is available on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And don't forget, the Careering Into Motherhood community is also available to you over on Facebook. Just search for our name and apply to join the group. We've got 11,000 other mums who will welcome you with open arms, and you can meet and engage with our coaches there as well. Now, without further ado, let's get into today's episode and let's get this interview started. My guest today is Janine Esbrand of Career Changemakers. Janine is a former lawyer who left her career, as we'll hear in a moment, after a life-changing trip made her realise that there just had to be more to her work life if she was going to enjoy it for years to come. Janine, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have this conversation. We've known each other for a few years professionally, but I don't think we've ever sat down and had like a proper chat, a kind of woman to woman. So I'm really looking forward to this and sharing the conversation with everyone else. If you would just talk a little bit about how you came to be running your own business, because I know you were doing something really very different until a few years ago.
I started off my career as a lawyer. So I trained and qualified as a corporate lawyer. This was back in 2010. I was doing my training and I qualified in 2012. And I had thought I would just do that. So from a young age, I wanted to be a lawyer. I sort of used to watch legal programs and dramas. I thought, oh, that looks very glamorous.
Yeah.
And my mum would say that I was very argumentative as a child. So she would say, you should be a lawyer because you've got an answer for everything. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And it was shortly before I qualified, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to East Africa. I went with a group of lawyers and we went to support with access to justice in Kenya and also Rwanda. So we went into prisons and we were educating people on their legal rights, because there were some people who didn't have access to justice, so had been arrested, and because they couldn't pay a bribe, they were just there for like years, some of them 3 years, 5 years. So we went with this organization that was going in and training people and supporting them. And then we went into villages and was educating parents on child protection rights and things like that. So it was a short trip. It was like 2 weeks, but it felt like 2 months
because
we did so much.
Life changing.
And then when I came back, I was like, okay, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working in the litigation department at my law firm, and we're chasing companies about unpaid gas bills. And I'm just like, okay, last week I was in a prison fighting for freedom, and this week there was such a disconnect.
That was a real turning point.
Yeah, so at that point I was like, okay, I have worked really hard to get to this point in my legal career. I don't want to just throw that away. I still want to do that, but there must be something else that I can do that can help people on a personal level. And I started doing research, and then I came across Coaching Academy that had a 2-day session on coaching, and it sounded interesting. So I went along and I opened up a can of worms and learned about this whole industry that was coaching, that you could help people and you could support people. And that's basically how I got into coaching.
Really?
I went down.
So had you gone for the coaching session because you just sort of didn't know, you knew something, you wanted to change something? But
yeah, I just knew that I wanted to No. So initially I said I want to do something that can help people on a personal level. And then when I was reading the stuff about the workshop, it just sounded like, oh, this is interesting. So I went to see, you know, just what it was about. And then from there I was like, oh, I could actually be a coach, and I feel like I have the qualities of a coach. I've probably been coaching people indirectly my whole life, because I've always been that kind of like, oh, okay, here you are, like, what do you want to do and what do we need to do to get there, that kind of person. So when I went to the training and I saw that there's this whole industry, then I was like, okay, let me start my coach training on the side, and started doing that whilst I was still progressing in my legal career. So I kind of built a portfolio career while I was doing coaching.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Once I got my certification, I started like coaching friends and then other people. Right. And so I juggled both of them for a long time until lockdown. So we were in 2021 and I was homeschooling two young children. I had coaching clients and I was a part-time legal counsel for a startup. Ooh. So
it's, wow.
It was a bit intense. And so a I bit. Got to the point where I said, okay, I need to make a decision. Am I going to focus 100% on my legal career or am I going to go all in on my business right now? I can't do both. Mm-hmm. And so since then, I've been all in on my business. So I've been coaching and also doing some consulting for organizations and speaking. And yeah, it's just been a fun, interesting roller coaster ride.
Amazing. Amazing. It's funny, isn't it? Lockdown was that sort of turning point for a lot of people. I think it's really shone the spotlight on, you know, how much longer we can keep all these plates spinning. But it's not easy running your own business, as we both know. So I know you talk very much about the title of this session is around being the CEO of your career. And the way you just described your own journey, it does really sound as though you have been in control of the decisions that you've made. Of course, they've been influenced by life experiences and other things. So I guess when clients come to you now, what would be the kind of conundrum? What's the thing that they're looking to unpick or looking for guidance with?
Yeah, so often people are just at a crossroads. So they feel as though they know what they're doing right now is not what they want to continue to do, but then they don't know how to figure out what the best next move is. Most of the time I'm working with people from a professional services background or who have worked really hard and invested a lot of time, energy and resource to get to the point where they are in their career. So the idea that they would just go and do something else just feels way too risky. And then so they're saying, okay, what else would I do that doesn't require me to take a massive pay cut? And then they feel as though that might not be possible. And so then they feel stuck. Like, I've built this life, but I'm no longer happy doing what I'm doing. But what else could I do? So that's kind of where they're at. So part of the work that we do is to help them to establish what do you actually want in this season? Because what you may have wanted for your life and your career like 10 years ago is probably different now because life has changed. But sometimes we hold on to, well, I decided, like for me, I decided when I was 8 years old that I'm going to be a lawyer. And so I'm on this path, so I'll stay on this path. But it's like, you're a very different person to who you were back then. And it's okay to update your vision. It's okay to decide actually now, because my life dynamic is different, my family dynamic is different, or just my desires are different, I want to do something else. And just helping them to see that that's possible and be okay with that is like the first step, because often people are a bit like, what should I be doing? And it's like, well, what do you want to do? And that's such a hard question for people to answer. When you say, what do you want to do? They're like, I don't know, like, I should be doing this. It's like, forget the should. What do you want to do?
Yes.
And so we have to get people to be able to own the fact that this is your life and you get to decide, and you're an adult, so you get to decide. So yeah,
that's so true. You know, I think when we're talking to kids and so on, we're always like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then once we've grown up, we stop asking that question. It's like, you need to have everything sorted by now. You need to be, you know, you don't get that choice anymore. And I suppose, you know, what you've done is prove that you do still have that choice, and now you're helping clients with that. But this, it's a very big emotional hurdle or mental hurdle, isn't it? This idea that we're told you need to, whether you go to college or university or just go straight from school, but you get that job. Everyone knows there's no such thing as a job for life anymore, but we do tend to think of a career for life.
Yes.
So what are some of the, I mean, those are obviously in coaching speak kind of self-limiting beliefs and things like that. But how do you get clients from, I have no choice, I have no influence over my own pathway, to actually, hell yeah, I can do this.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things is helping people to see what's possible through possibility models. And so sometimes what it can feel is like, okay, I've seen other people out there have been able to make career changes, but like, is that possible for me? And so one of the things I do with people, even when I'm initially having conversations with them before they become clients, is give them examples of real life people that I've worked with that's been able to make the type of transition they want to make. And then also I design my programs in a way where people have that exposure. So I have a group coaching experience, and it's amazing because people being able to be in a container where they see other people very similar to them in terms of background make moves that they didn't think were possible, it immediately shifts their belief. And it's like, oh, okay, well, if she can do it, and I've had conversations with her and I've seen her journey, why can't I do it? Yeah. And there's just a shift that happens in the level of confidence where people are able to see what other people can do. And then the other thing that we do is we work on helping them to see the transferability of their skill set. Right. So we actually have an exercise in the program where we get people to talk about what it is that they do. And as they're talking about what they do, other people will note down what are some of the similarities between what they do and what I do. And when they do that, they realize that, oh, I'm in like a completely different industry. But as she's describing, not her title, but like what she does on a day-to-day basis, I actually realize that I do a lot of the same. And when they see that, they're like, oh, so in my mind, what I wanted to do feels so far removed. But when I drill it down to like the actual day-to-day stuff, I could do that. And that shifts it for people as well.
That's amazing. And one of the things that often comes up in our community is certainly for women who have been out of the workforce for a while, and or, you know, even a shorter amount of time, but they think, oh, I've just been at home. I don't have any relevant skills. But actually taking that approach is really pragmatic in terms of being able to list very employable skills, which obviously when you're a working parent or when you're at home as a parent, there are loads of those kind of transferable skills.
So many. I'm like, if you can deal with getting a toddler to eat their food and get to bed, or any of the things where you shut, like, you can totally manage a team. Like, it's like,
so true.
There's so many transferable skills that we just overlook just because of the context. So it helps to remove the context in terms of like the role, the title, the environment, and actually think about, but what am I actually doing? And then so seeing the value in that for an organization, because if you can believe it, that is valuable, then you'll be able to sell it to someone else. If you're not sold on it, it's going to be hard for you to have a conversation with a hiring manager and say, look, I have this skill set.
So removing the context, that's a brilliant tip, if you like.
Yeah.
And also, I want to just rewind a bit. You talked about possibility models. Is that right?
Yeah.
What, can you describe a bit more? What are possibility models?
Is when you're able to see what is possible for you through somebody else. So I think when we're used to being in the same environment around the same people all of the time, it can be limiting because it's like, well, this is just how things are. This is just how it goes.
I see.
When you step outside of that and you see people that are doing things differently, that aren't that different from you, it makes you think, oh, actually that can be possible. And in order for you to believe something is like possible, you kind of need to see it. You know, they say like seeing is believing. It's like, I need to, there needs to be something tangible that I can hang my belief on.
I see.
Otherwise it makes it very challenging. And there are some people out there that have like, their brains just work that way where they have a vision and they can see it and they can just run for it. But for a lot of people, that isn't the case. Like they need, in order to believe it, it's like, you need to have something that makes it seem realistic.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available in our coaching partnership program in 2024. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you. And we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, founder of Careering Into Motherhood. And as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive. And I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview. I see. Yeah. So possibility models in the sense of like role models, but what's actually possible. That's amazing. Yeah. So did you have, or do you have possibility models for where you want to take your business next? I know you're always on the go. You know, taking inputs from all different people, all different sources. So what does the future hold for career changes?
Yeah, I think you're right. I am always on the go. And at different seasons in my business, I've always had, whether it is somebody who's like physically in my life or somebody who I watch from afar,
right.
I've always had like, oh, I like how they've done it. And if they can do it, I can do it. And yeah, so right now I'm really thinking about impact and how far reaching it can be, because I love working with people on a one-to-one basis or even in my group program. But working with individuals is one side of the equation. The other side is working with organizations to create more of a coaching culture, and working with them to create programs that are actually supporting people when they are in the workplace, so that I don't have to have as many conversations with clients who are like, my line manager just doesn't get it, or they don't value me, or they like, there's so much of that. But I think if organizations were more intentional about the support that they put in place and the way they treat people, I'd have less people feeling like they need to leave their jobs. And so my focus now, I guess, is yes, working with individuals, but also how can we do more on the corporate side of things so that people are supported in the round. And so I've been doing some more work with organizations, more speaking engagements, developing programs for companies. They can support people that are going from like middle management into leadership, so that we can really make a change from the inside.
Interesting. Yeah, there's culture shifts and sort of creating, ensuring that line managers are creating the right kind of environment for their people to be able to thrive is so important. And often, you know, we're brought in, or coaches brought in at the point of kind of fixing the problem, you know, with, as you say, where employees want to leave the role, where they want to leave the organization. And you're really only just catching people as they're exiting an organization. And it's so much more powerful if you can do it at the point where they start feeling like that and addressing the problems rather than the symptoms.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that people don't have the conversations, right? Or they don't feel like they can. So then a line manager might be just like, wait, why am I getting this resignation letter? Like, I didn't even realize there was an issue. And so even just cultivating a culture where people can have conversations and not feel like them saying they're not happy in their role is going to mean that it's going to lead to them being disciplined or whatever. But actually, it's like, we've got talent. If the talent isn't best used in this department, well, maybe we could use them somewhere else, rather than people feeling like, I have to leave my organization. How can we have a conversation where people recognize, oh, I could be utilized more over here internally before I think about making an exit from the organization? So those kinds of conversations. And I think particularly for managers, people are often promoted because of their technical ability, but there isn't any, or often I say any, most of the time there isn't management training or support.
And how to be a manager.
Yeah, when you become a manager, it's less about the technical ability and more about your ability to manage people.
Yes.
And people are just left to figure that out. And that, I think that is a big problem. Like, we have to, yes, promote people, but also fully equip them for what is required in the role. And if you're managing people, that's a whole different skill set. And so, that is a space where I think there's opportunity for more support.
Definitely. And that's, you know, to your flagship program about being the CEO of your career. You know, those are the kind of qualities, aren't they, that you, when you think of a CEO, more about how they manage, how they engage a team, how they develop their teams and so on.
Yes.
On that topic, I'm really interested when you talk about being the CEO of your career, and you obviously have been, you know, you've taken the helm and steered it in the direction where you wanted it to go. What do you think are some of the qualities, I guess, if we just rewind a bit, actually, so the idea of being a CEO, it's a very confident statement, isn't it? You tend to think of someone who's, you know, in full control. What are some of the confidence tips and tricks that you use? Because we don't always all wake up every single day feeling super confident.
Yeah.
And some of the characteristics that you think have got you to be the CEO of your own career.
That's a really nice question. I think I think leaning into who you are and what you're good at is the thing, because I can, and most people can easily identify the things they're not good at, but being able to really own what you are good at so that you're able to navigate your way through using those strengths. So like I'm a people person. So when I think about my career as a lawyer, what made me an effective corporate lawyer was not so much the technical side of things, although that has to be there. It was my ability to connect with people. When you're a corporate lawyer, you have to be able to get input from different colleagues in different departments. So I was really good at building relationships with people. So when it came time that I had to deliver my report, so I needed to get things over the line in terms of a deal, I had built the relationship so I could call on someone in the employment team or property and say, hey, I need my report done. Have you managed to do it? And use that relationship building to get it over the line versus emailing people and just waiting and getting frustrated. So I was able to identify, okay, what needs to be done? And then what in my toolkit can I use to make it happen? And I think when I do that, when I think about what my strengths are, it makes me more confident, because then it's like, okay, I can figure out the best way for me to get it done, because it's going to look different for everybody else. So I think that's a key characteristic. Like if you're a CEO, like understanding where your strengths lie and then where your weaknesses are, and then you can solve for the weaknesses by getting other people involved, whether that is in a company setting, that would be team members. But if you're thinking about your individual career, you might say, well, actually, I need to get some support. I need to hire a coach. I need to get a mentor. I need to speak to a friend, because I'm not good at that bit, but I know what I am good at. Right. So I think that is like a key piece, and recognizing that everyone can't be good at everything. So rather than getting down on yourself on the things you can't do or that you're not good at, just lean into, okay, I'm not good at that, but what am I good at? And that can boost your confidence.
That's brilliant. I love it. There's so much valuable stuff in the conversation today. Yeah. I'm going to listen back and make some notes. But it's true, isn't it? Like you say, we're always very good at immediately jumping on what we're not good at. It's the same thing when you read a job description, you know, well, I couldn't do that, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. But just remembering what you are good at and what you can do. Fantastic. Yeah. Jillian, it's been brilliant talking to you. It's gone by in a flash. Where can people find out more about you and working with you?
Yeah, so if you go over to my website, which is careerchangemakers.com, you can find all the information. I have a podcast, which you can find on the website as well. And I actually have an email series where I send out emails with some tangible tips and strategies for people who are looking to pivot in their careers. So if you go to careerchangemakers.com/prepare-to-pivot, you can sign up for that mailing list, and then you get emails that come through on a weekly basis with some nuggets on how you can show up for yourself as a CEO in your career and actually make decisions that are going to move you towards a fulfilling life and career.
Amazing. We can put the links in the show notes, actually, for anyone who would like to sign up for that. Jillian, thank you very much indeed. It's been brilliant having you on the podcast, and best of luck with the next season of your career whenever that comes around.
Thank you so much.
Lots of great advice there from Jillian, from finding possibility models. It's a new term for me, not something I've heard of before, but a great concept to show you what is actually possible for you. Then start stripping out the context of what you do and listing the core skills of the activities you enjoy. Super helpful if you're stuck and can't really think of where or what you want to do next. And then focusing on what you are good at and simply plugging the gaps where you feel you might need them with extra resource or extra support. We covered lots there. You can find out more about working with Jillian and sign up for her email series, as she mentioned, in the show notes or on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com, or Jillian's own website, Career Changemakers. I'm Jane Johnson, and I'll be back next week with another great guest. Until then, thanks for listening. And don't forget, please leave a review or check out all the tools we have available and free resources on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com.